Genesis chapter 4. We will be reading from Genesis chapter 4, starting at verse 1. If you would please stand as we hear God speak to us. Now, the man had relations with his wife, Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, "I've gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord." And again she gave birth to his brother, Abel. Abel was a keeper of flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. And Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering, but for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. So far, our scripture reading, you may be seated. Brothers and sisters, in the Lord Jesus Christ here, in the text that we're looking at today, we get an important transition of the text on the history of the Bible. You would remember in chapter 1, we looked at the creation of the universe and everything in it, and we saw how God created the whole universe and everything in it in the space of 6 literal days. In chapter 2, we saw the account of how God created mankind and the covenantal agreement he made with man, and man, we saw, had covenantal obligations to God. And then in chapter 3, we witnessed the fall of Adam and Eve after Eve was deceived by Satan, and still very fresh in our minds, you would remember the curse that God had declared upon man and upon land, and how man will work for his own food. But we also saw the grace that God declared. Even within this curse that he declared, he said that a redeemer would come. A redeemer would come to save man from this situation that he is in. And that redeemer would crush Satan's head and reconcile man to God. And here in chapter 4, we see in this transitional text the start of two humanities develop. Two kinds of people. Now, if you go back to chapter 3 and verse 15, we saw, "I will put enmity between you and woman, and between your seed and her seed, and shall bruise you on her head, on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel." And here God speaks very clearly of two groups of people. There are those who are saved, and there are those who are not saved. There are those who are followers of Satan, and there are those who are following God. And we see these two groups immediately here in chapter 4. They are displayed in this generation that were born right after Adam and Eve. History tells us of the two sons, who presented these two humanities. The one was saved, the other one was not. And so we learn about Cain and Abel. Cain, the oldest son, is a follower of Satan. He's an unbeliever, and later we learn that he's a murderer. Murdered his brother, younger brother, in pride and jealousy. Murdered his younger little brother. Abel, on the other hand, he was justified by faith. And we continue through the chapters of Genesis, we learn more and more about these two humanities as we see the dark side of man and those who follow the light. Adam and Eve were driven out of the Garden of Eden, and cherubim, you would remember, were placed at the gate to guard the entrance gate to the garden. And Adam and Eve were banished from the garden. They didn't have access to the tree of life anymore. They were removed from the presence of God. But God saw that they need grace. And so God did not leave them unto themselves. Although they were banished from the garden, God didn't leave them unto themselves. And God was always still with them. Now look at verse 1. Of chapter 4. Now, the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, I had gotten a man child with the help of the Lord. And so another man was on his way, would have been the first man born on earth, like Adam. Eve says, God made man, and now with the help of God, I made a second man. These words of Eve were implicit words of faith. She recognized that her pregnancy was the work of God. God promised that there will be children, and from these children, there will be a Savior. God promised a Redeemer. And you would remember that Adam believed God when God made that promise, and immediately in an act of faith, he changed the name of his wife. Here we see the act of faith of Eve recognizing that this is because of the promise of God. She may have even thought that this would be the Redeemer that would come, but we don't know. But notice this, it is God's word that shaped Adam and Eve. It is by God's word which they trusted that they lived. It's also God's word that shapes us. It is by the truth of God's word, the things we read and learn through the Spirit teaching us His word, applying it in our lives, that we are shaped. And so, therefore, my brother and sister, regularly put yourself under the sounding of God's Word. Study and read your Bible. Do it regularly so that you would be that God intended you to be. Adam and Eve had a very small fraction of God's Word. A very small fraction. But that which they heard, they believed. You see, that's what a believer does. A believer, whether he knows a lot or a little, he believes God. He believes what he knows God's Word says. That's always a mark of a believer. Nothing that the believer hears from God does he not believe. And so let me ask you before we continue, are there anything from God's Word that you read and say, now, wait a little bit here. How can I believe this? How could this be? How can that be? I'm not talking about asking honest questions about the text and try to learn, but believing God. but questioning God's truthfulness of His Word. Are there any areas in the Word that you just cannot accept? Let me warn you. Do not make God a liar. Do not say that this part of God's Word is not truth. And if it is you, if you have areas in God's Word that you just can't accept, you need to repent. And you need to run to the Lord in humbleness, trusting Him. Believe what God has revealed in His Word. The name Cain is taken from the Hebrew word meaning gotten. In other words, Eve has gotten this child which God has promised her. She professed that God was a vital part in the birth of her child. And we will today need to acknowledge, and we need to also not only acknowledge but profess publicly that God sovereignly gives us our children. They are precious gifts. It's Psalm 127, verse 3, that says, children are gift of God. So let us not only profess this, but let us raise our children, remembering that our children are a treasure that God gave us. And ultimately, they belong to Him. We need to raise them for Him. We need to raise them to serve God. This neutrality in our modern day that parents raise their children and they say, well, I'm a Christian, but my child can choose whether he's going to be a believer or not. That is one of the most ungodly things that is happening in the family today. Our children are God's, and we need to raise them to love Him and to follow Him. In verse 2 we see, and again, she gave birth to his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the flock, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So a second child was born. Abel was a shepherd. Cain was the worker of the land. And in these two, again, remember the cultural mandate? We see it here fulfilled. One was over the creatures. He was ruling over the creatures of the world. And the other one was ruling over the land, the soil, for his food. But it's not their occupation that the Scripture is focusing on here. It's not their occupation. The Bible focuses on man's relationship with God. This is the most important thing in anyone's life. Your relationship with God. Our relationship with God should be the most important thing in our lives, not our professions, not our occupations, not our families. Where is your focus? Here's a good test. If you see a good old friend that you haven't seen for many years, and you start talking and you ask him about his children, what are you asking about his children? Are you asking, what did they study? What profession they're in? What occupation are they in? Or are you asking them, do they walk with the Lord? See, too often we're just occupied with the things of the world. What are your children doing? What kind of cars are they driving? Where do they live? But asking about their walk with the Lord, we're silent. You see, we bought into this whole teaching of our society today that says, don't talk about politics and religion. But this is the most important thing in our lives, is not only how are you walking with the Lord, but how are your neighbor? What is this relationship with the Lord? The most urgent and important matter to know about a person is if he walks with the Lord. So after introducing Cain and Abel to us, it immediately reports about their relationship with God. It was a time for sacrifice. And the wording we find here seems to indicate that this was not their first sacrifice. If you look at verse 3, it says, "So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground." The word "in the course of time" literally has the meaning of "at the end of days." And it seems to indicate that this was something they've been doing for a long time, but now it was time for bringing sacrifices again. It was possibly done on a Sabbath. It's quite possible that it was done at the end of the season. And most likely, they brought these sacrifices at the gate of the Garden of Eden. Although man was driven out of the garden in view of the promised Redeemer, God still allowed them to approach Him. He was, as I said, still available to them. And Adam and Eve instructed their children about this Redeemer to come. They received this glorious promise, as we read earlier in chapter 3:15, of the Redeemer to come. And they surely instructed their children of this Redeemer that would come. They told their children about the first animal that died. How can a man who has never seen death saw that scene of an animal that was killed to cover them in their unrighteousness not tell their children? So the children heard about that sacrifice of the animal. Now, Cain never received a rebuke before. So if these assumptions are correct, his sacrifices that he brought in the past were sacrifices acceptable to God. So what was the main difference between this sacrifice and the previous one? And what was the main difference between Cain's sacrifice and that of Abel? Well, many people say, well, Abel brought a blood sacrifice. Cain didn't. That's it. That's what it's about. However, later in the Old Testament, we learn that grain offerings were quite acceptable before God. No problem. Grain offerings were received. Throughout the Old Testament, God accepted grain and blood sacrifices and offerings. Even the context of this text shows us that could not be the main thing, the difference between blood and grain. We actually need to go to the New Testament to help us in the correct direction. If you want to go with me, please turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Look there at verse 4. "By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts. And through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. Abel offered to God a sacrifice in faith," Hebrews says. It was because Abel offered a sacrifice in faith that sacrifice was acceptable. And Cain's sacrifice, therefore, must have been given in a lack of faith, and therefore it was not acceptable. John Calvin speaks on this, and he says, I quote him, "Abel's sacrifice was for no other reason preferable to that of his brother, except that it was sanctified by faith." End of quote. That was the difference. Now, if you go back to our text, with that in mind, you can see it also in our text. Look again at Genesis 4, verse 3. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground, and Abel on his part also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground. That's what we read. Abel, on the other hand, he brought the firstborn. The firstborn and the fattest portions. I say to you before, that's the best of the meat. Meat without fat is not good. Needs to have fat. And here is the proof. He brought the fat portions. He brought the best he had. Cain, on the other hand, he didn't bring the best. He just brought a sacrifice. He just brought the sacrifice. My brother and sister, God only wants the best. If it's not the best, it's not good enough. He wants our best time, our best offerings, our best worship. And if God is not worthy of the best, who would be? God is worthy of it. Just a few minutes of prayer, driving in the car. It's good to pray, but that's not good enough. And when you want to worship God, when you're sleepy late at night, just before bed, it's not good enough. God wants the best. For many, the best time to worship God is right after he gets up in the morning, early in the morning when you're fresh and there's no interruptions. You can give God quality time. That's the best time to give to God in devotions. An offering in the offering box of that which is left over at the end of the month after you used everything and whatever more you wanted, that's just not good enough. No, God requires the first. He requires the best. He says, bring me a tithe of all your increase. In faith, give me the offering up front before you start spending. And when you get paid, first set aside the offering of God's tithe. Go with me to Malachi chapter 3, if you would. Turn with me to Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. Look at verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Clearly, these Israelites did bring sacrifices. They did bring things to God's storehouse. They were making these sacrifices, but they did not bring the whole tithe to the storehouse. And God says, you're thieves. You're robbing me. You take that which is mine. In other words, God says, I'm the owner. God cannot call you a thief if he didn't own it. He says, I'm the owner of it all. Even the cattle on the thousand hills. It says, it is mine. And you are robbing me. And Jesus confirmed this. We may say, well, you know, this is just the Old Testament. Well, first of all, we're not dispensationalists. It's a progressive revelation right through the Old Testament, unless the New Testament says about something of the Old Testament that it has expired, it does not apply anymore, then it applies. But secondly, Jesus confirms this. Look at Matthew chapter 23. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus is speaking here to the scribes and the Pharisees of his time. In verse 23, Matthew 23, verse 23, he says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others." Jesus says, that is what you should do. You're tithing. Yeah, that is what you should do. You should tithe, but you should not neglect justice and mercy and faithfulness. See, God owns it all. He is the owner. So let me ask you, are you a robber? Are you robbing God of giving him back that which he gave you to manage? Are you robbing God of your best time? Just giving him the little scrappies here and there? Are you robbing him of your best offering? Are you robbing him of your best worship? Now let us come to him only with the best. Learn from Abel. God accept only the best. Well, back to Genesis chapter 4. Cain simply went through the motions. It was a time to sacrifice, and so he sacrificed. Cain gave because it was time to give. You see, Cain fell into pure formalism. Already, man fell into formalism. Cain's worship was formalistic. Abel gave the best, the purest, devout worship. The main and the foremost difference was the attitude of the heart. That was the difference between these two people. Cain came to God on his own terms. Cain was the captain of his own heart. Cain came to God on his own terms. Abel came on God's terms. Cain came in arrogance. Abel gave to God from a deep conviction and awe. Cain, on the other hand, he gave to just stay in good terms with God. Cain came in a lack of faith. Abel came in conviction of a deep-rooted faith. And so it's worth today, we need to spend some time, and maybe even later today, to check our own hearts. How is your giving to God? What is your heart attitude, giving your time, your energy, your worship, your sacrifices, your tithing? You see, every minute of the day that you live is a gift from God. Every breath you take is a gift of God. We don't have a problem saying that. We understand it as Christians, right? But when it comes to the consequence of it, God is the giver of all our time. He only requires one day out of seven. just the Sabbath day, just keep one day holy, worshiping Him, spending in communion with Him. Not only time is what He gave you, but everything we have, as I said before, is what He gave us. But graciously, God requires only 10%. He says, give me 10%, a tithe back of what I have given you. Let us learn from Cain. God despises giving that comes from a cold and a dead heart. If we only simply worship by going through the actions, by just doing the things because we know that's what God requires, that's not acceptable to God. If we sing or we pray simply because we know that's what we should do, it comes from a heart with a wrong attitude. Because God desires for us to bring Him glory and to honor Him. That is the worship that is acceptable. Many join churches and they come to worship services. They give some money. They give some kind of devotion and think that is what God wants. I do it because that's what God wants. Now let's go to Cain. Let us ask Cain what that brought him. What that brought in his life. My brother and sister, let us know that God knows our hearts. He knows what is in our hearts. And first, God wants our hearts. He wants our hearts devoted to Him. If we do not come with true faith adoring Him, our worship is rejected. The question may be asked, so why did Abel then brought a blood sacrifice? Let us be reminded. Humankind did not eat of the meat until after the flood. We see that in Genesis chapter 9, verse 3. Genesis 9:3 says, every moving thing that is alive shall be food for you. I give all to you as I gave the green plant. That's when they start to eat. So when Abel killed the lamb, it was not for the lamb chops that he killed that lamb. It was simply for a sacrifice for God. It must be that his parents, as I said earlier, they told him about the blood that had to be sacrificed. So first and foremost, the sacrifice of Cain was not accepted because he came with the wrong heart. But secondly, he also came without blood. As I said, nothing is wrong with fruit. Nothing is wrong with grain offerings. But without blood, there's no atonement. It's Hebrews chapter 9 that tells us that. And we see it actually right through Scripture. But Hebrews chapter 9 in verse 22, if you want to turn there. Hebrews 9:22 says, and according to the law, one may almost say all things are cleansed with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. It seems Cain got tired of exchanging his fruit and his vegetables and his grain for meat to bring the sacrifice. And he said, I'm going to do it my own way. I'm going to just bring my own grain. His heart got weary. And so he sacrificed without faith. The outward action was a testimony of what was in his heart. The outward action was saying what was inside his heart. We need to understand that the condition of your heart will affect how you worship. And how you worship will have an effect on how you live. But it all starts with a heart. Cain's heart was corrupt. And so he brought the corrupt worship, and his corrupt worship led to the murder of his brother. So let's heed God's word that says, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Feed your heart with the word of God. Walk close to Jesus and put in place in your life hedges around you and accountability to guard your heart. Again, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, we read it before, but I'm going to read it again. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts. And through faith, though he is dead, he's still speaking. We saw Abel is still speaking today. How is he speaking? What is Abel teaching us today? Well, Abel is teaching us the Bible's doctrine of justification through faith. This is what this chapter is about. This is what he's teaching. The gospel of Jesus teaches us that the believer is declared righteous by God through faith. The New Testament is teaching us then when we come to the Lord Jesus in faith, trusting in Christ and believing God for what He said and what He speaks in His Word, we are forgiven of our sins and we are declared righteous. And not only is the believer declared sinless, those sins are forgiven, but we need to take note, you are declared righteous. Therefore, start living in that righteousness. When you go back to Genesis chapter 4, you see a confirmation of this bad attitude and the lack of faith of Cain in verse 5. But for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. So Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. Instead of humbling himself before God, when God corrects him, Cain had a chip on his shoulder and he became stiff-necked and very angry. Look at verse 6. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door and its desire is for you, but you must master it. God asked Cain, why don't you come and do what I told you to do? Do what is right. If you do right, your countenance will be lifted. In other words, you're going to feel better. Do what is right, Cain. Come in faith. Come with the right attitude and worship me the way you know is right. Well, as Paul Harvey always said, we know the rest of the story, don't we? Instead of repenting, got stiff-necked, he went after his brother, murdered his brother. In the righteousness of Christ, Abel was the first man that appeared in heaven. What an event that must have been. The Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the godly ones. I can just imagine that great rejoicing must have erupted in heaven as the first sinner clothed in the righteousness of Christ appeared in heaven. Abel came in faith, saved by the blood of Jesus. In Christ's righteousness, he appeared before God's throne. The faith of Abel, the Bible says, is still preaching to us. He offered a sacrifice looking forward to this Redeemer that was promised to his parents. Today, we trust in that same cross, but we look back. We know that that Redeemer came. He died for you and me and paid for our sins 2,000 years ago. And if we truly trust in Him, our lives will be evidence of that faith like that of Abel. Like Abel, as we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, our lives will be lived for Him and our lives will speak to others around us. So let me ask you, does your life speak? Does it preach? Does your life, the way you live your life, preach the gospel to those who live around you, to those who work around you, and those who know you? Is your life a faithful testimony of this gospel that the life of Abel is testifying of? So my brother and sister, listen to the testimony of Abel. Trust in the Lord Jesus for your salvation. Follow Him faithfully. And the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, will be proclaimed by the way you live. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God in heaven, we thank You for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for His sinless and faithful life. We thank You, Lord, for Him dying on the cross for us. And so we pray, Lord, that You will work in our hearts. If there are some who do not believe, Lord, to put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ so that they will be saved. But we pray, Lord, for those who live for the Lord Jesus, Lord, that more and more our lives will be a testimony of the faith we profess. We pray, Lord, that our lives will testify of the gospel, that our lives will preach to those around us. Make us powerful witnesses of our Lord Jesus. Give us that boldness and that faithfulness, Lord, to do it in season and out of season. It is in Jesus' holy name we do pray. Amen. If you would.